VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here on this delightful Saturday morning, right here in the studios of WBOB in sunny downtown, not exactly, Jacksonville.
South
as
side.
We usually are, yeah, on the south side, which is the hardest thing in the world to define if you're from out of town.
Yeah, because apparently it's also the east side.
But yeah, exactly. Anyway, we digress, as we're so often capable of doing. All you regulars, welcome back. Thanks for always being there, because you're what keeps us going. And if you've just found out about the show, whether we told you, you've heard it from a friend, or if you just left your radio on the station, because you should have it on WBOB a lot, you know that. Otherwise, how are you going to pick up on all this fun stuff that happens? So for those of you, try to stick around for the hour if you're new, and you probably learn something and hopefully get into the habit. I remind everybody, that's why I always open the show the way I do. It's Saturday morning, it's 10 o'clock, and this is the VanWee Financial Hour, because I want those concepts in your head, so you never have to think about when you're going to listen to it. Although, recently, and for a while, we have an alternative for some of you, if you are doing your Saturday morning things, and Adam can tell you about that.
Yeah, we temporarily picked up a spot. It is Thursday afternoons, if it's at 6, I think, 5 or 6, I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly, but it's only temporary. But if you missed the Saturday morning show and want to hear the rerun and are driving home on Thursday afternoon, evening, check us out then.
Yeah, and of course, if you're not in a car or near a radio or whatever, you usually have a computer around, and we do put all of our shows on the podcast listed on our website, which you can find on any place that you get your podcast, simply called the VanWee Financial Hour. And we strip out the commercials for you, so you can actually save a few minutes by listening that way.
Yeah, you can find it on any place that you can find podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're on all the major platforms, so check us out there.
Yeah, and while you're there, run through the website at VanWee Financial. We post on our blog every week, and there's always some topics of interest. And we'll talk about a couple of those today, and you'll see one of them either last week or next week or this week or whatever, depending on how the schedule goes for getting them on there. So anyway, there's no excuse to not be listening to the show at any point in time, and I'm sure most people will find it worthwhile, because what's more important to more people in the world than your money? And those people who are holding their hands out trying to get some of it. We'll try to do a little bit about how you can keep as much as you can, but one of the best ways to keep it is to invest well, and doing that will wind up with more money down the road. Very important.
Been a little tough lately, though.
It has been a little tough lately, and it was a little tough this week. We're going into Friday morning, we had a gain, and then Friday kind of petered out.
Yeah, we had a test this week. You may not know that we had a test, but we had a test and we failed miserably. Mm-hmm. What we tested was the 200-day moving average on the S&P 500. We had been approaching it all week, and it was, you kind of knew it was coming. And then Friday morning, it just we just didn't have the bulls out in force to break through that 200-day moving average. Not super surprising, considering that the well, one, we've had a big, big run-up in the last month and a half. So some reversion to the mean, not too surprising. Could be nothing. Could be the start of going the other way for a little while. The next thing we need to look out for is when we start approaching that 50-day moving average, if we continue to slide, that'll be the next big test. If the market bounces at that point, big bullish signal. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, not so good.
We don't talk a lot about charting, and charting can be used for very many things. I'm not a big fan of it in general, but when you look at charting as to the market indices, what you're really looking at is how the computers in the country are programmed mm-hmm. with the really, really high volume traders. And whatever those programs say to do, that's where the market's going, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, you're not going to be surprised when I say this, but right now there's a bunch of bullish signals and there's a bunch of bearish signals. Mm-hmm. And which way it's going to go next, nobody knows. But the short-term outlook for me looks not great for next week. Just that the setup doesn't seem ideal. There isn't a lot of positive momentum. We're entering a time of year when people in New York come back off vacation, and you may have noticed the volume's been really low lately. That tends to happen in August. September, it ramps up, and September, not always the best month of the year.
In fact.
It's actually the worst month of the year, yeah. And it's not even close. Over the last 100 years, I have the notes somewhere, the Dow, over the last 100 years in September, the return is negative 1.21%. There's only one other negative month. It's May, and it's down 0.01%. Every other month is positive, so September is the worst month by a mile.
Now, if we have an average September, ho-hum.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take down 1.2%. That'd be fine.
Absolutely.
But, you know, that's an average, and that's never what the actual result will be. So it could be positive, but the historically, it's definitely a bias towards the negative in September.
Yeah, when people get back to work and the real business of the country gets moving again, the direction will eventually become known better than it is now, and hopefully we won't have to be so wishy-washy every week saying, I don't know, it's either going to go up or...
Yeah.
Down or so same or whatever.
The one chart that looks really positive is small caps. If mm-hmm. if you're looking across the board, some of the every chart looks pretty good right now, but not great. Except for small caps. Small caps actually look great. They broke through their downtrend that's been in place, plus their 200-day moving average. And small caps being up, that's a really bullish sign.
That is a good sign.
So if they can lead the market forward, I would be very encouraged on the second half of the year. They faltered this week along with the rest of the market, so we'll see what happens next week. But if you see them turn back positive, I'd be pretty enthused at that point.
Yeah, and if you're looking for some kind of justification on that, the small caps are less likely to have a great deal of international exposure.
True.
And with the dollar as high as it is now and still rising, it's been very difficult on our big manufacturers and so on, because we get less competitive with every percent the dollar goes up. But the small caps are kind of cleaning house because they like a good solid dollar here at home, and where they're making things and selling things. And
yeah, more of their revenue like as that. A percentage comes from within mm-hmm. the United States versus exports.
So it all kind of makes sense. It's not been a much fun year, but if you look at the quarter to date, we're 9.5%, 15%, and 11% up.
Yeah.
Of course, I neglect there to talk about year to date, and I think I'll just keep neglecting that for a while.
Well, I'll tell you, it doesn't look as good. S&P's off more than 11, the Nasdaq's down almost 19, so not the end of the world, but the Nasdaq looks a little rough. The S&P being down 11, I mean, that's a vast improvement from where we were at 23-24% off. So yeah. It's been a good rally. Do I buy it? No, and I'm going to get to why. At least not in the short term. So the other, if you think your stock portfolio is bad, don't look at your bond portfolio. It could actually be worse. Every class of bonds was down this week or this month as yields continued to rise. The 7 to 10 year Treasury ETF called IEF, it's down almost exactly as much as the S&P 500. The 20 plus Treasury year Treasury ETF TLT down 23%, significantly more than any of the three major indexes. It's been a rout.
So much for your safe haven this year.
Huh? Yeah.
It's sad.
I mean, cash is the only alternative to bonds at this point.
Yeah. I remember years ago, and I think it was in the 08 era, when we had a phone call and said, I opened my 401k statement, and before I could get another word out, I said, you did what?
Yeah, but that wasn't even as bad on bonds as this is.
Oh, no, not at all. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question today, as usual, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. And this week's question belongs to Adam.
All right. Yes. Since 1998, the tech sector is up about 505%, including reinvested dividends. How much is the utilities sector up at that time, including reinvested dividends?
That's...
Take it plus or minus a percent.
Okay. That's fun.
Yeah.
All right. Want to wrap up anything on the market before we get to little details?
Yeah, I have a few things.
Good.
I think that from a macro perspective, there is not a lot to love about the current situation. I believe we're currently in a recession. I think the Fed is going to make it worse by hiking rates too much, too fast. I don't think them slowing down in time to give us a soft landing is a I'd put it at a tail if you're looking at a bell curve.
Based on experience?
Yeah, well, that's mainly what I'm basing it on.
It's never different than that.
They overshoot every time in both directions. Why would this time be any different?
You know how much I detest hearing the words, well, it's different this time.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not.
China appears to already be deep into a recession. They're cutting rates. At the very least, their real estate market is in
their
a deep recession.
Is in bad, bad shape.
Our property market, not nearly as bad.
No.
But not headed in the right direction either. We're also looking at peak property prices, perhaps. And I don't know that we'll see declines in certain areas. I know we'll see declines in some areas. Mm-hmm. Not maybe in the popular states that people are moving to, but in the states that people are moving from could definitely happen. Every indicator from the housing market is flashing this. Housing starts fell 9.6% in July. Existing home sales fell 5.9%. And it's never been more unaffordable to buy a home in America than it is today based on current wages.
Amazing?
Yeah.
When you say never and it's backed up by all the right statistics, that makes it weird.
And then interest rates are going in the wrong direction to fix that, too. So they're not going to help. They're going to hurt and make it even less affordable. The labor market is showing signs of weakness as well. Initial jobless claims hovering around that key 250,000 mark. The more hiring freezes and layoffs being announced and job openings reversing from their all-time highs set in recent months. It's still possible to find a job, but it's not as easy as it was a few months ago, and it might get worse.
Yeah, that's why the quit rate is falling.
In addition, the bond market is still flashing recession warning signals, with some of those signals predicting an 80% chance of recession in the next 12 months. I think we're already in one. I think the bond market might be late to the party, but that's just me. I just think there's a lot to not love about the current market. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be the stock market can't go up. It certainly can. It's climbed a wall of worry before, but we just flashed on and off there. That was weird. If it broke up, I think we're back. But it has happened before, but it is a scary time to be an investor, and I have no conviction in the current rally. I would like to see us go back down, test the 50-day moving average, and if it rebounds from there, I'll be a lot more bullish. But I don't know that even that would happen. So I'm not a huge fan right now.
No, but we're not telling people to get out either.
No, I didn't say that.
Our cash balances are historically high right now.
Yeah.
And staying that way, unless somebody really wants to take a flyer on getting all the way back in. But neither of us can convince ourselves or each other that we're through this whole thing.
No.
It just doesn't seem like it. Because it truly seems like the economy is in some form of continued contraction.
It does.
Despite a few things that look pretty good.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it has to be a deep, great recession type recession. I think that we could see a very shallow, somewhat easy recession to go through. It depends what the Fed does. If they screw this up, though, they could really hurt us.
Well, we got a $100 a month raise recently, according to the powers that be in D.C., because gas went down.
Yeah.
So instead of saying that we're still paying $100 too much. We just got a $100 raise.
But that's the other thing. I've been wanting gas prices to come back down, and I am somewhat happy about that. But they're coming down for the wrong reason. They're coming down because China's in recession. We might go into recession.
And we stop driving.
Exactly. So when demand falls, so do prices. That's not a great outlook, though. It's the opposite of a great outlook.
You know me. I hate being told by the government or any branch of it that I have to change my lifestyle. It's been one of my beefs with Social Security and the way they compute cost of living raises. And it's the same thing here. They're taking credit for having erased a lot of demand. So a lot of vacations have just gotten canceled. Mm-hmm. There's just a whole bunch of things that people aren't doing that they really wanted to be doing, and especially after being cooped up for a couple of years with COVID. So this is nothing that's happened is happening for the right reason, and I doubt if there'll be any change in that. Good morning, Marshall.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
I was just thinking as I was listening to y'all, if you ever want to raise some money for charities, the two of y'all could probably do broadcast audio spots for some of the people on BOB.
Well, if somebody wanted to pay us, meaning pay the charity, we'd talk about it.
But my question is this. I'm sitting here and looking at the two-year Treasury index at 3.272%.
Yeah.
Now, where can you put money and earn 3.272% over 2 years?
On a fairly guaranteed basis, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
There are some jumbo CDs that are paying up to 3.5%. I was going through the CD rates this morning on some of the jumbos, and there are actually some things out there that would make you think a little bit until you remember that if you're getting 3.5%, you're losing 5% to inflation.
I can tell you where you can get that on a somewhat comparable risk basis, I would say. Maybe a little more risk, but not a huge amount more. But individual bonds right now in the 1 to 4 year range are paying, if you find the right deal, you can find a decently above junk rated bond that pays about that same amount. So there are some good deals on individual bonds out there right now.
Yeah, we're not quite as without opportunity as we had been for the last 10 years or so, but there's still nothing. Well, you know the old saying, I presume, because you're a money guy from way back. But there never has been, there is not now, and there never will be a short-term guaranteed investment that keeps up with inflation, because that's not the definition of short-term rates. So if you know you're going to lose to inflation, but if you can't put that money at risk, then we got to do like what you're talking about.
Yep. That's I understand. Shame. Well, thank you very much, sir.
Well, I appreciate it. You want to take a shot at the trivia?
How about 44?
44, too low. But
okay, at least I've gotten a baseline for you.
Got a new floor, absolutely. Take care of yourself. Thanks for
Thank
the call.
You. Bye.
Marshall knows a lot about money. He's been in the mortgage and related businesses for a long, long time. And by the way, he does reverse mortgages. And if anybody is interested in ever talking to him or someone like us about it, you can call our office and ask about it anytime, because it's not the pariah that it used to be.
No.
In fact, it's a very valid planning tool.
For the right person.
Yep, and he's good at it, very experienced. And we always appreciate hearing from him, too.
Yes.
One last thing I wanted to bring up about the market, the earnings season kind of done now and pretty acceptable.
Yeah, decent numbers. I mean, a lot of people were predicting doom and gloom this season. That did not happen. We didn't set records like we have been over the last couple of years with the recovery and the reopening, but pretty solid.
Above average, yeah. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. Before I didn't get the question on the trivia question, but I'd like to do a short 32-second tribute to you and the gentleman there, if I may.
Well, hey, anybody's going to heap some praise on us? Am I going
to? I don't say no to that. No.
I actually wrote this down, so I can't mess it up.
Wow.
Okay.
You sound
go.
Good, Phil.
You do sound good today.
To the Van Wees, Stephen and Howard, and team finance, Phil of Orange Park, myself and the community, thanks you for sharing your financial knowledge, true professionalism, and great demeanor towards all. God bless you, and thanks again, and keep those prayers coming, because the good Lord didn't call me up yet, and that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
We're happy to hear it.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Can I take a shot at that? Even though I heard four, I'm going to try to block that out of my mind, but can I take a shot at the trivia question? I didn't hear it, though.
Let me repeat it.
Adam will repeat it.
It is, since 1998, the tech sector is up about 505%, including reinvested dividends. How much is the utilities sector up during that same time period?
Okay, since I heard the 44, that was too high.
Too low.
Oh, 44 was too low. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 67%.
Still too low. Sorry.
Still low.
Too low.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. All right, we've got a minute left. Anything you want to wrap up on this thing that is important to the market? And then we go on to some other topics. We actually have quite a bit to cover today.
Yeah, we sure do. I have a millionaire story we've been trying to get to. I think you'll really enjoy this one. It is it's a little bit unique and surprising, so I'll put it that way.
Well, I think let's do that upon coming back. There's a couple things that I want to bring up. I might have a few seconds here. I told you about the gold and silver manipulators at J.P. Morgan going on trial.
They got convicted.
They were convicted. Now, their back of their hand is probably going to really hurt when they get it slapped. Yeah. You think so? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And lines are open, and all you got to do to talk to us is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. Trivia question is still open. Adam has it.
Yeah. What has been the total return on the utilities sector since 1998? And just for comparison purposes, the tech sector is up about 505%.
I'm going to feed out clues, little tiny ones.
Okay.
Total return means that it includes reinvested dividends.
Yes, it does.
There's a little clue for those who are still thinking about it. One quick note, and then we're going to go on to the American millionaire story. I try to keep everybody up to date on the Secure 2.0 Act, and as I always remind you, the reason I'm so interested in this is personal, because it impacts me, but it impacts a lot more things than just an RMD. But I have another indicator from this week from ThinkAdvisor, who is a very trusted source. The chances of passage of this thing this year are in excess of 70% for a very interesting reason. Some of the sponsors are retiring this year, and if it doesn't go through, they will not be able to be linked for the rest of their history to the passage of this bill. And everybody seems to be concerned about the retirement industry, and especially the other reason that nobody talks about, the insured retirement industry. And all you got to do is read in there, annuities, a big, huge, powerful group of people. They want it passed because it directly impacts them. So if, for those of you born after June 30th, 1949, if you haven't taken your RMD yet this year, hold off if you can, because it looks like you're not going to have to. And wouldn't that be a treat? All right. Who am I?
All right. So if you are a regular listener, you know that I've been doing a series on American millionaires who came from nothing, using grit, hard work, determination to become successful against all odds. I think this might be the best one yet, and I think you'll see why when I start talking about it. This millionaire was born December 23rd, 1867, near Delta, Louisiana. She's an African-American woman, and so she may have had more cards stacked against her than any other millionaire that I've profiled to date. She had five siblings, the oldest of which were actually born into slavery. She was the child of her parents. She was the first child of her parents to be born after Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. So technically she was born a free person, but her older siblings were not quite as lucky. Despite not being born into slavery, her childhood was not easy, as you might imagine. 5 years after her birth, her mother died, and then a year later, her father also passed away, making her an orphan at age seven. She and her older sister moved to Vicksburg, Mississippi at age 10, where she started working as a child domestic servant. Despite about 3 months of formal education, she did manage to become literate through lessons at her church. At the age of 14, she married to escape abuse at the hands of her sister's husband. She had one daughter with her husband. Her husband died in 1887 when she was 20 years old and their daughter was two. She married a second time, but ended up leaving him in less than 10 years. After the death of her second husband, she and her daughter moved to St. Louis, where her three brothers lived. She worked as a laundress, making barely a dollar a day. While in St. Louis, she married a newspaper advertising salesman, which lasted for about 6 years. During this time, she committed to getting the education for her daughter that she never had. She didn't have the financial means to make that happen, but she had the desire to try and figure it out. Like many women of her time who lacked indoor plumbing, heating, electricity, and access to soaps, she suffered from severe dandruff and other scalp ailments. Her brothers had become barbers in the St. Louis area, and this introduced her to the hair care industry. Eventually, this led to her job as a commissioned agent for the African-American-owned hair care company, Poro. Using the knowledge she gained from selling Poro products, she began to formulate her own line of products. She eventually got into a feud with the owner of Poro, who accused her of copying a product. Using her knowledge of the hair care industry, as well as her third husband's knowledge of door-to-door sales, she marketed herself as more or less of a beauty consultant for other African-American women long before such thing actually existed. She and her husband traveled the southeastern United States selling product while her daughter managed the distribution of her products from a home in Denver. In 1908, she and her husband moved to the Pittsburgh area and opened a beauty parlor, as well as Lila College to train hair culturalists, is what they called them. She taught the Walker system to a network of licensed agents across the country who earned healthy commissions. This led to a series of other locations for salons, including Indianapolis and eventually even in Harlem. She moved to Indianapolis in 1910 and set up a manufacturing company for her hair care line. Many of her key management positions were filled by women. During the peak of her career, she employed several thousand women as sales agents for her products, and the company claimed to have trained over 20,000 women. She focused on teaching economic independence for African-American women, including budgeting and entrepreneurship. In 1912, Walker spoke at the NNBL, and the following year she was invited back as the keynote speaker. As her success increased, so did her charitable acts. She contributed to the YMCA, the Tuskegee Institute, Flannery House, Bethel African Methodist Church, and the college that eventually became Bethune-Cookman. She was also a patron of the arts. In 1916, she joined her daughter, who had moved to New York. She had become fairly well known, and she lectured. She began lecturing at powerful black institutions. She advocated for the first black army officer training camp during World War I. She was on the executive committee of the New York chapter of the NAACP. She was on the committee of management of the Harlem YMCA. She pledged $5,000 from her estate to the NAACP's anti-lynching fund, which at the time was the largest ever donation from an individual. She also left $100,000 to various orphanages and institutions. From her beginnings in rural Louisiana and her narrow escape from slavery to one of the most influential African-American women of her time in New York City, Madam C.J. Walker is truly one of the most inspirational people I've ever read about. From day one, she had everything in the world working against her, and yet she died as the first African-American female millionaire. Not only did she use her manufacturing empire to pull up herself and her family, her goal was to empower an entire generation of women who came from similar backgrounds and give back to her community. I would say she succeeded.
Huh.
Pretty cool, huh?
Not a name everybody knows.
No.
Good morning, Stephen.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing?
Real fine.
Pretty good.
What's up?
Hey, let's try take a shot at the trivia question.
Sure.
Go for it.
I'm going to say 110%.
110. Too low. But you're on the right track. You're on the right track, but too low.
Okay.
How about that? All right. You got any questions today? Just shall we move it along?
No, I do have a question. So,
good.
As far as, like you said, in this low interest rate environment, are you a fan of the utility sector index?
Yes.
It's one of the few
I've owned
bright
it forever.
Spots in this year. I am a fan. Mm-hmm. It is one of the few that is I was looking at the chart, obviously, to come up with this trivia mm-hmm. question. And if you look at it, it's just slow and steady and kind of boring, not a lot of volatility. So if you're into that, which I happen to be, yes, I'm a fan.
Yeah, we really like it for long-term investing, like in your 401k or IRA. And I just kind of leave it in there as a core holding. And you can reinvest the dividends and all that.
Do you recommend any certain, like Vanguard or any of the major indexes they offer? Because I know they offer utility, or do you have a choice there?
The one I use most often is the one that Adam came up with, I guess, XLE.
XLU, but yeah,
XLU, so I'm sorry,
that's a good one. Energy. I mean, VPU is an excellent alternative to that. That's the Vanguard one. Mm-hmm. I think if you closely compared iShares, Vanguard, Spider, you'd see that the variations are pretty minimal. I don't have a favorite. I did use XLU for this particular analysis.
Yeah, I have a little problem with Vanguard. They're going woke big time.
So is iShares. So
yeah. Oh, that's the other one. So I'm trying to avoid them, but that's just personal and political.
Sure.
They're performance wise, they're all
an
good.
Index.
Yeah. An index is an index, right? But yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Go for it. All right. We appreciate your call. Thanks. All right. We know 110 is too low. It seems like a boring thing, but all of a sudden it's starting to sound a little bit better, isn't it?
The what's that, the utility sector?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, slow and steady, nice dividend payout, not a lot of volatility. Yeah.
When you're making an asset allocation, when I do it, I always have utilities in it.
Yeah.
Always. It can be very small, but I just think it belongs in everybody's portfolio.
I don't tend to allocate to a certain sector. I buy the whole S&P. It's just a personal
I can understand that, too. All right. We'll be right back with the last part. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the lines are open, 904-222-8255. And we still have the trivia out there. Again, Adam?
Yep. It is since 1998, the technology sector has returned 505%, more or less. What has the utilities sector returned, including reinvested dividends on both of those?
Okay. And just a quick note, Phil called back and apologized for referring to Adam as Howard, but I thought I'd give him a little inside information. That happens to be my middle name.
Yeah.
It was my father's first name. And, of course, there's the Howard that precedes us on the air in the real estate show.
I was not insulted.
No, not at all. Just keep calling. Good morning, Russ.
Hey, I got a question. How do you feel about the I-bonds right now?
Quite positive, actually.
Yeah, you're talking about buying them on Treasury Direct and up to $10,000 for every Social Security number per year, I believe, mm-hmm. is those I-bonds?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been big fans for the last 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. There is a couple of caveats you have to remember. You will pay a penalty if you sell early. Before the holding period is up. It's only a few months interest, though, so you can still earn a very good return. The return will be variable, so don't think that you're going to get that 9-10% return during the whole entire holding period.
Yeah, it'll reset again on November 1st, and it's likely to still be pretty high.
Yeah, yeah. So I think short-term, excellent investment.
Yeah, but you got to keep them a year, and you can sell after that, but if you sell before two, you're going to sacrifice 3 months interest. But how do we feel about them? really good.
Yeah, the only thing we don't like about them is that you can only buy $10,000 at a time.
Although, there's another way, too. If you're getting a tax refund, you can allocate your tax refund to I-bonds, and they'll actually send it to you to the cent of your tax return.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's a paper version of it. So, yeah, there's some ways to approach it, but right now, in a period of inflation, excellent idea if you got money that you want to keep around for a while. Answer your question?
Hello?
Oh, there he is.
Apparently got cut off.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it got cut off. Okay.
All right.
I'm here.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
There okay. He is. Yeah. We thought we lost you. Yeah. Did that answer your question?
Are you talking to me? This is Mike.
Oh no. We lost Russ.
Yeah, sorry, Russ. Well, hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm confused.
Yeah, we are too. So I don't know how that happened. We were talking to Russ, yeah. And then there you were. Yeah. So
all right. Well, I'm not sure what happened either. But good morning. I listen to y'all every Saturday morning after I play tennis, and I apologize, but it was pretty hot out there, so we stopped early. And I just caught the last part of what you were saying concerning the legislation about the required minimum distribution, and what I heard, something about if you were born after 1949 or
June, something. After June 30th, 1949.
Why is that part of it? I don't know anything about the legislation, but why would they
good question.
Arbitrarily pick a date and say, okay, you guys got to keep doing it. If you're born after that, you don't. I don't quite understand.
But remember the old days when your required minimums kicked in when you were 70 and a half.
Right.
Well, during COVID, they passed a law called Secure 1.0, and that raised that number to 72 even. And it only impacted people who hadn't already had to start. And that cutoff date is the 1st of July, 1949. So if you're born after June 30th, then you did not have to do an RMD at 72. Mm-hmm. At 70 and a half, you've got to wait till 72. Well, now they're proposing, and we're hoping to get through both houses and past Biden's desk, Secure 2.0, which would raise that immediately to 73. So we get another year. We get this year of reprieve.
I just want to give a brief summary. The government came up with a stupid rule, and now they're creating another stupid rule to correct the other stupid rule.
That's how it's done.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well said. What would we expect? Would we expect anything different, right? I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. That would be insanity, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, I was born in 48, so I guess I can go ahead and take my required
minimum. You've got nothing to look forward to, unfortunately, that way. Now, there's another proposal. There's two proposals that are going to be merged into the final law, and one of them actually jumps it up to 75 immediately. I don't think that'll pass. I think the one that'll pass is 73, and then 5 years later goes to 74, and 5 years later goes to 75.
Well, should I hold off on the RMD just in case that might happen?
It will never impact anyone who has already started taking RMDs.
Okay, that's the key.
Yeah, they got to discriminate, or they wouldn't have a good day.
That's right.
Mike, did you want to?
All right, well, thank you all. I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you.
I listen to it every Saturday.
You want to take a shot at the trivia?
I don't remember. How about 200%?
200, that's still too low.
Still too low.
Okay.
It's looking better all the time.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
Appreciate it. I don't have a name on this caller, so can you identify yourself, please?
It's Bob.
Hey, Bob. What's happening?
Hey, what's happening? How are you guys doing?
Real good, thanks.
Never better.
Enjoying the show. I'm kind of disappointed, though, that the RMD for me is not going to actually happen at 75. So
yeah,
it's a shame. I'm in that 73 bracket now if they pass it.
So okay. At least you get a little reprieve.
It's not out of the question. That part is my humble opinion. But I think when they see how much revenue it's going to lose, it's going to be not pretty.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if you're still working, but there is a bill that's been introduced by our own Byron Donalds. And if anybody here doesn't know who Byron Donalds is, look it up. This guy, watch for this guy. I mean, he's a congressman right now, but he's not going to end his life as a congressman, I promise you. He's got designs. But he's got a bill out with a co-sponsor, David Schweikert, that would raise next year's contributions, if you're still working, for Roth and traditionals would go to $10,000.
Oh, thank goodness.
And the workplace contribution would rise to $24,500. So for people who are still working, that would give us a one-year hit, which if you're young enough, means you could compound for a while.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I think anything we can do to help people with their retirement is it's in the government's best interest to do so.
I retired officially, but I'm farming now, so we do have a farming business. So I guess that would apply to me.
Yeah, if you're earning an income, it certainly would. It helps a little. It may not be a panacea, but it helps a little.
Absolutely. I'm gonna take a shot at your trivia.
Sure.
And I'm gonna say 247%.
Too low.
Okay.
Believe it or not, it's becoming more fun all the time, isn't it?
There you go. We'll have to learn next week what it is.
We'll tell you before the end of the day.
Okay.
Adam won't let me forget.
All right. Enjoy the program.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
We got another call coming.
But I think I intervened a little too quickly.
Yeah, he'll be on in a second.
Yeah, he'll be on in a second. Somebody getting the idea now that this is a larger number than anyone would have guessed. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Good. We're great. Thanks. You?
Oh, hanging in there.
Good.
Latest issue of Barron says many small businesses and consumers are already feeling the pinch of inflation and higher interest rates. So their headline is, sorry, we are in a recession.
You know us. We couldn't agree more.
Yep.
I hear you. I'll take a quick shot at the trivia.
Sure.
261%.
Too low.
There you go. There you go.
And by the way, we do have a point. Yep, we always have a point. Sure. Today's point, you're going to really like. And it'll be less than 3 minutes, and you'll know.
Very good. Have a great weekend, gentlemen.
Thanks,
and
Mike.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks for the call. I wish I could put my hands on something. But I'm going to do something instead of that. But I've got one I want for tomorrow.
Did you see what the cost is to raise a child through high school?
$300,000.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Isn't it? Hey, if you think the birth rate's low now, publish that number.
Well, it was published yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, now it's going to crash. Have you ever heard of EWA?
The ETF? Sure.
Not that one. That would be Australia, I believe. It's something called earned wage access, where as soon as you're done working, you can get the money that you just earned, all or some of it.
Yeah,
and it's really becoming quite a big deal with a lot of big companies. I'll discuss it a little more next week, but it's helping employee retention. All right, the first number the second number.
The first number, technology up 505%. From the same exact date, utility sector up 499%. Within 6% of technology.
That illustrates two things. It says, don't try to outguess the growth versus value part of your portfolio. And the second thing, it illustrates the power of compounded dividends
believe me, check out XLK versus XLU with reinvested dividends since their inception.
There you go. See you next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.